Amen. Good morning. Good to see everyone. We're going to continue in worship. We're in Gospel of Matthew. Remember, Jesus finished his sermon and people were astonished by his authority, that he spoke with authority. And then after that, they see it. They see him healing people. People come to him. He just touches them and heals them. He has that authority. Casts out demons with a word. And here we're going to see more of his authority. And again, his disciples are going to be astonished as he commands the winds and the waves. Let's rise and read this together. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And when he woke him, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" Let me pray for us again. Lord, we love to come before you singing our praise. Lord, we love to be together in your spirit as your temple, Lord, making a joyful noise. And Lord, now your word is before us, and we pray that we could see you a little more clearly, that your word could go deep in our hearts, continue to transform us. Lord, that we could honor you day after day. We could follow you on the narrow way. We could know you, Lord Jesus, and make you known. Speak to us. Give us ears to hear. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So have you ever been so exhausted that you're asleep in a storm? I remember my last year of college, I could drink several cups of coffee and then just fall asleep talking to someone. I'd just lean my head back and they would, "Matt, wake up." One time I was at training down here in Houston. It was for a temporary summer job. And it's in a big room, maybe 50 people. And I'd had several cups of coffee, and I was so exhausted, I suddenly realized I'd gone blind in one eye. And I started looking around in a panic. All these people are just talking, taking notes. I've gone blind in one eye. I can't believe it. I put my head down, took a power nap, regained my sight. Jesus here has been working, laboring, healing people, teaching, and he is absolutely exhausted, and he's asleep in this storm. And the danger is very real. His incarnation was very real. He is a man just like us, right? So he truly was exhausted. And these are fishermen who grew up on this lake. Several of them have boats. They know what a good boat is. They know how to navigate storms. And these guys are scared. It's a very real danger. But Jesus is on a mission. He has a purpose. He's told them he has this purpose. So they wake him up, say, "Why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith." And he calms the storm. Now, we're all going to go through storms, right? The storms are going to come. They come again and again. And like the disciples, we want to recognize Jesus has a calling on our lives. Someday he will take us home. And we need to trust him through the storms. And we don't pray be delivered from the storms. We pray to be delivered through them, right? Let me show you what he prays. Part of what he prays just the night before he is arrested, a few years later when he's executed, crucified. He prays for his disciples. He says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus had a mission and a purpose he was going to fulfill. He sends us on a mission. I have a purpose for you. And we're going to face storms, and what we're going to pray is what he prays here. We're not going to pray, you know, don't keep me from the storms. We're going to pray, keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil. In fact, just in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he taught us to pray, deliver me from evil. I don't know what the disciples, what an evil response might have been in the boat and the storm. I guess they could have just cried out and cursed God. That would have been evil. But instead they cry to him. They wake him up. And time and again and again and again in the Psalms teaches us to cry out to God, Lord, where are you? Lord, look at what's happening to me. Lord, your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. Psalm 77, the guy says, you have held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. When I remember God, I moan. Has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Will he never be merciful again? Lord, when are you going to rescue me? And he cries out to God, and then he remembers. I say, I remember my song in the night in the past, Lord, when you commanded the waves and the sea, and your footprints couldn't be known, but you had power over the wind and the waves. Harkens all the way back to the Red Sea. So you and I, when we go through storms, like the disciples are going through storms, and we cry out, our prayer is, Lord, help me. Lord, sustain me. And Lord, keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Let's consider a couple of different kinds of storms, right? There is maybe a financial storm in your life, an economic storm, right? You're suddenly bankrupt. You're suddenly destitute. That would be obviously this is a literal storm, but a figurative storm in my life is I'm in a lot of trouble. You remember the story of Naomi. Naomi, there was a famine in the land of Israel, right? And there was a famine in Bethlehem. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. There was a famine in the house of bread. So she and her husband and two sons went to Moab because they had to go find food, find a place where they could work. In Moab, her two sons married Moabite women. And then her husband died, and her two sons died, and she was left destitute. And then what happened? She goes, I'm going to return to kindred in Bethlehem. And one of her daughters-in-law, named Ruth, said, I'm going to go back with you. And Naomi was like, no, God has left me destitute. My life is bitter. She experienced this storm, and it was very real. And from it, this young lady, Ruth, goes back with her. This Moabite woman goes back with Naomi to Bethlehem. She begins working very hard, gleaning behind the reapers, just like the laws in Deuteronomy told them. For the poor, allow them to pick up the scraps behind you. You do not go back and pick them up yourself. Leave them for the poor as a way of giving people work to do. There weren't soup kitchens, but they would allow people to do work. So Ruth began gleaning behind, and God showed favor to her in the eyes of Boaz, and then eventually Boaz and Ruth married, and she had her son was who's David's father? Jesse. Her son was Jesse, and then David. So Ruth was David's great-grandmother. A beautiful story. From this storm, I got ahead of myself. Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. We did a wedding yesterday. We didn't read this, but a lot of times people will read this at weddings, right? that from this storm, we see God's deliverance. Naomi got to see God provide. And we get beautiful scripture that comes from this storm. Beautiful story, this book of Ruth, that can look back on it and say, I'm thankful that God carried me through this storm. I'm thankful he protected me from evil. Again, Naomi could have cursed God and said, I'm sick of it. I'm going to go just give up. Perhaps Ruth could have said, yeah, forget it. I'm gonna go back to Moab, maybe look for another husband there. But instead she said, I'm going to follow your God. I'm going to follow the God of Israel. He is the true God. I want to be with him. I want to be with his people. So in this storm, this of being destitute, if we face something like that, we just pray, God, deliver me from evil. I don't want to curse you. I don't want to blame you. I'm going to keep working hard. I'm going to trust that you will provide. And from the midst of it, might get something really beautiful. The disciples went through this storm. They got to see God's power. Naomi went through this storm, experienced God's grace, and now at the end of it, God has been gracious and merciful. Had she had a grandson. And, you know, King David heard the story about his Moabite great-grandmother. Moabites were the sworn enemies of Israel. She said, I'm going to follow you, God. So, an example, the disciples saw God, Jesus command the winds and the waves. Naomi and Ruth got to see his power also. Okay, what about a psychological storm of depression? We're hearing more and more these days, the younger generation really struggling with mental health. We had some of our youth get some training in mental health first aid, first responders. What do you do? Just yesterday. So say you're faced with depression. See also the book of Psalms, right? The book of Psalms are full of people crying out to God, just like clinically, like King David would have been clinically depressed, or he was, crying out to God. Lord, rescue me. Deliver me from this. What's the purpose of, I'm a fan of a lot of modern psychology, modern medicine. It's been a blessing to my family. And we say the goal of it is to get me communicating with God, crying out to God, getting my heart and mind oriented on him. What if you got a letter in the mail saying my mother has like 3% mineral rights on some land down near the coast, right? And this lawyer has been contacting me saying, hey, we want to drill there. And I talked to my brother and sister. What do we say to this guy? See, we don't need a signing bonus, double the royalties. We don't know how to talk to him. What if you get a letter in the mail saying, oh, a relative of yours has this income, and you've suddenly got $50 million. How are you going to feel if you see a piece of paper? Rosina, what's it going to do? You see a piece of paper with some writing on it, says you've got $50 million. How are you going to feel? Oh, wow. Okay, I'm impressed. She'll give it to you, right? It would have a very strong impact on my sense of peace and joy. That's how shallow a person I am. I would think, wow, I'm going to take Melissa on a cruise. I'm going to get my boys new cars, right? Get a new fence. The words on a piece of paper, if that happened, have a very large effect on my heart. That's what you know, in the Bible, the book of Psalms says again and again, let God's word go deep in your heart so that it affects you emotionally, affects your heart and your mind. That's what we want by faith for his word to do in our hearts. When we, okay, an example of depression, when we went to China, the culture shock on Matthew was very, very intense. After a few months, he started experiencing major OCD, and we flew to Chengdu. We didn't see any pandas. We saw a couple doctors, and we fell in love with Mapo Tofu. It was a real storm in his life. He eventually got out of it. He became class president. We ended up at a Christian Korean kind of a missionary international school, and there I expanded the picture. There he is, I don't know, eating cake. He became class president. They were smearing the cake all over. I think that was a birthday party, right? It was a huge storm for him. But he came out of it, and he could have, you know, again, could have just blamed God and gotten angry, and we could have kept praying. We would stay up all night sometimes just praying and reading the Bible together. He got through the storm, did okay. When we came back, you know, culture shock can be really hard. The reverse culture shock was twice as hard for him. It was so difficult. He came back, he was eighth grade at Bear Branch Junior High, and he kept bowing to his teachers. It had been a Korean school. He had to learn you don't shovel the food, you know, off the plate into your mouth. Kids were making fun of him, picking on him. It was really, really tough on him. And I mean, for years. Kept praying. And, you know, saw doctors, got what help we could. It wasn't until he graduated high school, heading to Baylor, that he really began to recover. And in fact, when we drove him to Baylor, we went through one of the worst rainstorms. Well, I think it was the worst rainstorm I'd ever been in. It was, a lot of people were stopping on the side of the road. We were astonished. It wasn't thundering that much, but the rain was so hard. And then slowly got better, lightened up. Matthew kept saying, speed up, Paul. And Melissa and I talked later. We really thought God was speaking to us, telling us the storm is over. And he's doing very well now. His faith is still strong. So I'm just saying, looking back on it, we would never, ever go through it again, right? Ever wouldn't want to do it. But we're thankful for what it did in his heart, for him hanging on to God. You might have gone through storms like that. Oh my goodness, postpartum, OCD hit Melissa. That was, again, never ever want to do that again. But look back and thankful. We see again and again how God has provided. We don't pray necessarily, Lord, we know the storms are going to come. What we pray is not, give me complete peace and no storms. We pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. Now, a little more about this. Jeremiah, on the other hand, Matthew went through the serious culture shock, great depression, real hardship. Jeremiah helped a great deal to have an older brother to absorb pressure. He was literally the poster child at the school. And what do people do with the poster child? By the way, Jeremiah's car broke down, and that's why he's not here this morning. You go after the poster child. You try to take him out. He got bullied so much. And one time he got into a brawl with the entire second grade. All of them. He got bitten on his arm. You had to take him to the doctor. He got bitten. And we kept praying. And I don't, you know, we would pray the Lord's Prayer, which includes deliver me from evil. He could have become mean, he could have become hateful, he could have become racist. That would have been like bad. But he just endured and endured. And we thank God, we look back, and we're grateful for how the Lord provided. So, just a couple of different storms that we went through that were psychological. Wouldn't want to do them again, but we look back and we're grateful for how the Lord provided. Provided the best doctors for us again and again and again, the best counseling we could get. And we testify to his goodness and mercy. How about political storms? Israel experienced major oppression and slavery, and coming out of Egypt, God forced Pharaoh to make a decision. What are you going to do? Israel came out of Egypt where they'd been slaves, where they'd been politically oppressed. What happened when they came to the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army came and they cried out to God, why have you brought us here to kill us? What did God say to them? He said, you be still. Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you will never see them again, ever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. He told them, you keep silent. Because of that storm, they got to see God's glory magnified again and again. They got to see his power. Jesus had power over the wind and the waves. The disciples got to see it. They got to see his power again and again and again, and they got to see him. They got to walk between two walls of water. They got to see God's deliverance. That's why God did it. So we want to pray, Lord, deliver me from evil. I'm going to keep trusting you, and I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. Now, the people had a tough time learning to trust God. You know, when Moses, after this, about 2 months after this, Moses is on up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, he and Joshua, and the people down at the camp, he'd been there 40 days. What happened to Moses? I guess he's gone. God took him. And Moses and Joshua are coming down, and Joshua says, I hear the voice of singing, but it's the sound of war. People had already given in to idolatry. God had to make them wander for 40 years in the desert, eating day by day, depending on him day by day. They got to see his deliverance, but it took time to trust him day by day by day by day. Just enough food for each day. Centuries of rebellion later, God finally exiled his people so that they are again politically oppressed. King Nebuchadnezzar crushes the Temple of Solomon, takes the people into exile. And then Israel again rebels, and the city gets surrounded. It's siege warfare, goes on for months and months, and the people start eating one another. There's cannibalism in Jerusalem. What do you do in the face? What do you do in the face of that kind of storm? Mothers are fighting over which child they're going to eat today. It sounds almost unspeakable, but that's what Jeremiah encountered. What do you do when you see that kind of a storm? Jeremiah wrote a poem. He wrote a lament. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle of his lament, he said, the steadfast mercy of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. Great is your faithfulness. That's in the middle of Lamentations. And then what did he tell the people who were in exile in Babylon? He saw the horror in Jerusalem, and he writes a poem. He writes a lament. What does he tell to the people who are in Babylon, who've been through this storm? He said, seek the prosperity of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord in its behalf, or in its prosperity, will be your prosperity. Still have a mission for you. You're still going to represent me. You're going to pray for these people. If you and I, you know, facing huge political storms, we've got this election coming up. There's so much ungodliness in our country. So many lies being force-fed to our students. We're like, Lord, we cry out, we say, deliver us from evil. Oh, help us to seek the welfare of the city we're in, the nation we're in. We're going to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. We want to exalt your name. We're going to trust you in the midst of all this. Now, a few centuries after this, Israel is again waiting, wallowing in political oppression. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and then Jesus shows up. And for 3 years, the disciples are in an absolute dream state. It's like every day stuff is happening that just blows their mind when they see Jesus healing people, see him commanding the wind and the waves, see him casting out demons, hear him teaching beautiful things, and it's wonderful. But then this really, really, really big storm comes. It just confuses them, terrifies them. They see him get crucified. He explains to them, this is why I came, laid down my life to conquer death. And then he sends them out. And this amazing story of God bringing a storm, and through the midst of it, they see his power, they see his glory through the midst of all this hatred, all this violence against Jesus. They see God glorified, they see death conquered, they see him rise from the dead, and the church learns, you know, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We hang on to that promise. The storms we go through, say, Lord, deliver me from evil. I'm going to trust you in the midst of this. I'm going to pour my heart out to you. And I know that you're going to provide. Someday, he's going to take us all home, right? Someday, we're going to face a storm of death. And we're going to say, Lord, all the way to the end. Michael Lindgren keeps telling me, I'm not going to let Satan win. As he got part of his ear cut off, he keeps struggling with different kinds of cancer, different ailments, tumors, and every time he comes back from the doctor, he says, I'm not going to let Satan win. I'm not going to get angry at God. I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to keep boasting in his mercy and his goodness, saying God causes all things to work together for good, those who are called according to his purpose. So it's good to ask, are my fears, when we face storms, are my fears real? Are they relevant? Am I living by faith? Am I pouring out my heart to God? This is the prayer Jesus taught his people to pray. Let's stand and read this together. Jesus said, pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we do pray that as we go through storms, as we go through trials, we'd continue to trust you. We'd cry out to you. We'd pour out our hearts, and we would trust you. We wouldn't walk away. We wouldn't blame you. We wouldn't curse you. We wouldn't grumble about you. We'd bring our hearts and talk to you. And Lord, when we see brothers and sisters going through storms, that we could help them pray. We could say, there is one who understands, who sees, and he can work all things out for good. We would help them to pray, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from cursing and rage and blame. I'm going to trust you, Lord, in the midst of this. And we want to see your deliverance. We want to see you do awesome miracles. We want to see you do great things, Lord. Give us that hope, that faith. Lord, be glorified in your church. If there's anyone in here, Lord, going through a storm, or that they could pray to you in that way, they could find encouragement, help, support from brothers and sisters, Lord, be glorified. We pray in your name. Amen.